Welcome back to Newsworks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. Francis yesterday became the first pope to address Congress, and while he did not shy away from divisive topics, including immigration, global warming, abortion, and capital punishment, public support for the messenger far exceeds that for the politicians who were the recipients of the message. Let's learn more with Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup poll. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Dave.
So let's cut right to it. How much more popular is the Pope than members of Congress?
Quite a bit more popular. 59% is our latest favorable rating on Pope Francis. Now, that came before his trip to the U.S., so clearly it may have gone up during this trip or gone down. We don't know yet. That's an empirical question. I should point out that about a quarter of Americans don't have an opinion about Pope Francis, so that 59% is actually higher if we factor out those who don't have an opinion. Everybody has an opinion about Congress. The people that were listening to the Pope's speech on Thursday, 14% is the latest approval rating for Congress. So clearly the Pope was more popular, as you said, Dave, than those men and women sitting in the audience listening.
But focusing on opinions regarding Congress, does it matter whether it's based on a more superficial versus more nuanced understanding of the body?
Well, that's an excellent question, and we actually did some research recently to get to the bottom of that, because some have suggested that perhaps people just say, I hate Congress, and they don't really know what's going on. So we put that to the test. We ask a series of questions, knowledge questions about Congress. Things like, do you know who the Senate Majority Leader is? What's the term for a member of the House of Representatives? Who confirms judges? Which party controls the House? And so on and so forth. So then we could get very knowledgeable people about Congress versus those who weren't knowledgeable at all. Then we cross that with their opinions of Congress, and the results show overwhelmingly that the more you know about Congress, the less you like Congress. It was very, very startling. Those people who don't know much, can't answer questions about Congress, tended to have average opinions, certainly not very negative. But boy, Americans who know what's going on in Washington really give the body, that is Congress, very negative ratings. So the more you know, the less you like the U.S. Congress.
Gosh, given that level of disenchantment with Republicans and Democrats, what's the backing for a third party?
Pretty good, but it's not unusual based on where we have been in previous years. 60%, to be specific, say yes, the two major parties are doing such a poor job that we need a third party. But that's been where it is for a number of years recently. It came down when we asked it about in 2012 after Obama's reelection, but at that point people were more positive. But generally the 60% figure is not out of line with what we've seen. The biggest proponents of a third party are not shockingly independents. 78% of that group of Americans, about 40% who say they are independent, say yes, we want a third party. Other than that, interestingly, Democrats and Republicans are about the same, but almost half of both Democrats and Republicans themselves, these are people who identify to us as Democrats and Republicans, say they think that it would be great to have a third party in this country.
Looking back, is it typical for the call for a third party, though, to come from independents? I'm thinking of, say, Ross Perot or George Wallace. Did they draw from that middle?
Well, clearly Ross Perot did. He drew from the independents. I don't have the data in front of me about George Wallace, but keep in mind Perot, I'm glad you brought it up, was 1992, and that's a long time ago now. And he at one point was leading both George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton in the national polling for who you would vote for president. And then, as we know, when the dust settled, Perot got 19% of the popular vote running as an independent or third-party candidate. So clearly this appetite for an actual willingness to vote for a third-party candidate is not something new.
That support for the outsiders is certainly reflected, as we've spoken before, in the Republican roster of nominees. And when we look at, say, Ben Carson and Donald Trump, they've both been in the news, but for rather controversial comments, starting with Ben Carson. Has the dust settled on that?
Well, we're still monitoring his favorable ratings. We track those every night, but so far we don't see any signs of deterioration. In other words, Carson's image is remaining very high. It's the highest of any of the Republican candidates. He has a 58% net favorable rating among Republicans, and that's over the last 2 weeks, so it only takes into account some of the days since he made those controversial statements on Meet the Press, which would have been last Sunday. Donald Trump, on the other hand, is sinking. sinking. Every day when we look at the numbers, it's getting lower. He at one point had a net favorable rating among Republicans of 33%, which wasn't great. We talked about it before. He's never been the most popular Republican among Republicans, but now most recently he's down to 21% net favorable, which puts him sixth or seventh in the list of all the candidates. So we clearly see evidence that Donald Trump is beginning to fade in terms of his image among Republicans nationwide.
If he's sinking, who's rising?
Well, clearly Carson has gone up. At one point, only 47% of Republicans knew who Carson was or were able to rate him. And now, most recently, that's up to three-quarters of Republicans. So Carson's familiarity is going up. So is Carly Fiorina. Her familiarity was 35% at one point in the past, and now 60% of Republicans can rate her. And both Carson and Carly Fiorina's net favorable ratings have been rising among Republicans.
What do Americans, though, think when they consider either a Muslim or any specific religion as a qualifier or disqualifier for the presidency?
We've been asking for decades Americans about voting for another otherwise well-qualified person who was a woman or who was a black or who was Jewish, and this summer we added Muslim in there. In answer to your question directly, 60% of Americans say yes, they would vote for an otherwise well-qualified candidate who happened to be a Muslim. That's how we phrase it. So Ben Carson's remarks are out of sync with the average American, although I should point out it's 45% who would vote for a Muslim among Republicans. So in terms of his party, he's actually in sync with at least a slight majority of members of his party.
Is that 60% mark, though, significantly lower than support for either a Catholic candidate or Jewish candidate, for example, or
a Mormon
candidate?
Oh, yes, it is. We ask about a number of different religious groups. Catholics, 93% would vote for a Catholic. Of course, that was a big controversy many years ago when John Kennedy was running in 1960. A Jewish candidate. We had Joe Lieberman run as a vice presidential candidate, you remember. Well, anyhow, 91% of Americans say yes to a Jewish candidate, 81% to a Mormon candidate. We had Mitt Romney who fit that, 73% to an evangelical Christian candidate, and then Muslims at 60%, 58%. Say they would vote for an otherwise well-qualified candidate who was an atheist. And then just to round it out, not religious, but to show you what's at the bottom of the stack, 47% would vote for a socialist, and that's the lowest of any of the categories that we tested.
Thanks, Frank.
You bet, Dave.
Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup Poll. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.